Okay, so we are, as I said, we're starting on Daf Mem Gimel on the Beis. We're starting six lines from the top where it says of Masharshi Amar. Okay, we're all set. So Rav Masharshi Amar, Hai Narkom de Gininisa. Okay, the Narkom of the garden. What's the Narkom? So Rashi says it's the Chavatzel Sasharon. The Sharon rose, and there's some translated Sharon, the Sharon lily. But I don't know what that is. Here's a picture that at least one Wikipedia, one opinion in the sheet of Wikipedia holds that this is the rose of the Sharon. Looks familiar to some things we have here locally in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, I don't know. It's in Shir HaShirim. Ani Chavas HaSharon. Hashem is, it's in the Shir HaShirim, also describing the relationship of Hashem Ben Israel is this term. And this is what the Narkom is referring to. So again, we're talking about this Narkom of the garden. And you're smelling it for its fragrance. So the what bracha is made. So Mevarchim Luye Bore Ase Besamen. Bore Ase Besamen. Okay? The because it's considered an eighth. We'll explain in a second what the detail is. But the Dabra, but when it's a wild type of Chaval Sel Sasharon, then it's Bore Isve Besamen. Okay, then it's Bore Isve Besamen. So what's the Isve? Esef, from Esef, Isve, Esef, from like a herb, like more of an herb vegetation, herbs, right? That's the term. That'll be the translation. Now, what's the difference between the two? Why is one time it's this way, one time it's that way? The same way it's cultivated in the garden, it's meant to last from year to year, and therefore it is a stronger, thicker stem, like wood. Therefore, it has the bracha of eight. I'd say the summon. When it is in the wild, it doesn't last from year to year and never develops a stronger backbone, never stronger stem. And therefore, since it's more floppy like vegetation, it has isve, right, like grass. It's like isve besamen. Okay. Another halacha. Amar of Shesha. Hani digale mevarch alayhu boire isve besamen. Also, the digale, which are violets, also get isve besamen because of its floppier. Now, Amr Marzutra, another category. Haiman de Morach be Esroga o be Chavusha. What if he's smelling an Esrog or a quince? I didn't know what a quince was, so hold on. I didn't. Okay. This is my ignorance. I'm acknowledging. So this is a quince. Mm-hmm. This is, am I correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a quince.
To be sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, okay. So quinces are also tasty.
Yeah.
So when you're smelling a fruit, which is an edible kind of a fruit, then you make the bracha baruch shenasan reach tov peros. Now, do you make this all the time you are eating something that is fragrant? The answer is only if you are eating it. You make the bracha either if you're just intending to smell it, and if you're just intending to eat it and you happen to smell it, because there's no, you can't separate the two enjoyments, then you do not make the bracha of shenasan reach tov peros. But if you're eating it with the intention to also enjoy its smell at the same time, it's la'achlo ula reach bo, it's both, then you make the bracha of also the bracha of variation. Shenasan reach tov peros.
Two brachas.
You make the bray pri ha'et and the bracha of shenasan reach tov peros because your hana is separate and distinct, and therefore the brachas require the separate and distinct. This bracha is specifically on peros. There's no bracha that I know of that's made on eating the flowers and those things. But like in other words, yes, this is specific for edible peros. Edible peros. Yeah. Wait, did I understand your question? Say it again. I must have missed your question. Ask the question.
So what are we saying on non-peros?
So far we have, okay, you know, maybe I'll step back for a second. Let's just, yes. No, we didn't. I don't think we went through this in detail last time. I was also not here last time. So the basic halachos of Birchas HaReach are as follows. If it is that which is coming from a wood, or we said an item which has a strong stem, thick, strong stem, so that is going to be on Borei Ate Besamen. If it's something that's a floppy stem vegetation, that's going to be Borei Isve Besamen.
And that's any vegetation.
Yes, if it's a vegetation. If it's something that's like a coming, if it's something that comes from, it's not fruit, and it's not edible fruit, and it's not the tree, and it's not the vegetation flower, but like I guess you're like certain spices or things like that. They're ground
cinnamon bark.
Cinnamon, good. So that would be mine besamen. Mine besamen. Not the tree.
What about leafy vegetables?
If they're free.
Unbelievable smell to it.
Okay. So it'd probably be, is it come from a tree or it comes from a vegetation?
From
oh, so there'd probably be, so it's the same, yeah. If it's in fact fragrant. Okay. Then if you're not sure what it should be, then it should be mine besamen also. If you're not sure, then like shakol nidvaro covers you. So bore mine besamen covers you when you're not sure. Okay, when you're not sure, it covers you as well.
Right,
what about on oil?
So why are we not specific?
Depends.
We know exactly what we're having. Why not say the exact product as opposed to mine besamen?
It's a great question. I don't want to say, I guess if you're using something that specifically would have a specific bracha, then presumably should have a specific bracha to it. I don't know why you would use a generic bracha.
If you were making on a road.
If you're making on a tigale, which is right. A violet type of flower, then you would go ahead and you make a sebesamen. I assume that would be the same alacha in Abdallah. I don't know why you make a generic bracha for Abdallah.
Because what we use is...
If you're using an esrog for Abdallah, you're saying for Abdallah, if you're using an esrog after
Sukkot... Right now, we dictates that we're saying we made
sebesamen. Yeah, I don't know. That's the question. I have to ask. I don't know if that's... I don't know why that should be required. Right. So we happen to generally use that which would be mine besamen, but you're right. If you're listening...
Cloves are not really edible. That's
no. They're mine besamen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they're not Esav. They're not cloves on Esav. No, but cloves are. But they're not Peros. They're not Peros. Meaning they don't fit the pair of Peros. They're not the tree.
They're not
Esav. They're therefore Mine. That's fine. I thought you were asking me. What if you use Nestrog?
Yes, I am.
Oh yeah. So I assume you make a Shinasim Yasub Peros, but I'll double check. I have to double check. I mean, the halachos you don't talk about Havdalah. It's all in Siman Resh Tezayin. I was just reviewing it. I didn't see any distinction. What about oil? Just because, like, I don't want to, like, lose track. We have a long Amud, but it's important halacha. What about oil? So oil has two different possibilities. If it's an intrinsic oil that has a smell, like, for example, balsam oil, which we'll get into in a second, where you extract the oil itself from the needle. I think it's like a sort of a pine, some kind of pine needle or balsam tree needle. The oil itself that's extracted has a smell. You make a bracha of borei shemen arev. The shemen itself is pleasant and it gets its a special bracha. But if oil, which you know can be used to absorb a smell from something else, like you could put flowers and petals into an oil, and the oil basically holds the smell in,
so
it will last. And therefore, when you smell the oil, what you're really smelling is the underlying thing that gave the oil the smell, right? So in that case, you make the bracha from what contributed the oil to the oil. So it would be either borei atei besamim or borei istei besamim, or just the basic general category of what you make the bracha on. So it would be where the smell originated from. Finally,
but that's the way they reference halacha. It's not a matter of okay, so you don't have the original item there. So it's mine
besamen? No, it's wherever, if it came from the tree and now the bark has imparted its smell into the oil, and now you're smelling the oil, you make a bracha of atei besamen. Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to the oil itself, yeah, but the oil itself was the smell, was the item. Yeah. Now, what's the halacha? I understand. So what about an esrog on Sukkot? What about an esrog on Sukkot itself? Can we do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Hamariach the esrog shel mitzvah." Like, I mean, we just said the halacha was. We just got words like a few lines into. Okay, but can you eat? No. No, you can't eat it. Can't eat it. But the question is, can you smell it? It's okay. Can you smell it? So Shulchan Aruch, I mean, we just said the halacha is if you smell an esrog, the Gemara is talking in general. Make a bracha shenasmiach tov beperos. That's the bracha. You don't say mine besamim. Oh, they have in this part of the minyan. They have all these little different things there you can make brachos on. You ever see that right by if you're by the bima, they have an esrog there and they have other things there you can make brachos. So the bracha on esrog would be brachos nasnirach tov peros. What about on Sukkot. So the Mishulchan writes, Hamirach the Esrog Shal Mitzvah Mevarach Halav, you make the bracha on it. V'yesh Omrim She'enu Mevarach. So there's a machlokas. I was showing them whether or not you should make a bracha on Esrog on Sukkot, because the question is it set aside for its mitzvah, even for smelling? Certainly for eating. It's not meant to be eaten. You should be able to shake it. But the smelling doesn't detract from its mitzvah. Okay? And if you're shaking it just for the purpose, if you're only using it for the mitzvah, and mitzvahs are not for mitzvahs lab nalas, so therefore you're not intending to smell it, you don't have to make a bracha. So what if you're using it, if you want to smell it, because machlokes are shown about whether or not you should make a bracha. Some opinions say yes, some opinions say no. The Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, since it's a machlokes, right, what's the halacha with brachos? Safi brachos? Lahakil. So he says, l'kach nachon shalol lahariachos. They're not to smell the esrog on sukkos. And make a bracha. Because for the intention, I mean, if you happen to whiff it, that's fine, but don't intend to smell your esrog on sukkos, because you're entering into a situation of doubt. On one hand, you might have to make a bracha. On the other hand, other people say it's a bracha levatala. So don't do it. Another question. What's another case where, like, you walk past and you're like, oh, you walk past a bakery, and you're like, that is incredible, right? You're like, that's the most amazing smell. Did you make a bracha on bread? Warm, hot, fresh bread coming out of the oven. So, yesh omrim, yeah, that should be the next step. So the Ramah says, yesh omrim, shehane riach bepas cham, yesh levarach shenasam riach tov bepas. Wow, right? Woo, who's the source? I don't know. No, the Ramah is quoting, but he's quoting an earlier Rishon. He's quoting someone even earlier than him. So maybe it's Abu Abraham. Yeah, that's Abu Abraham. But the Beis Yosef, the Ramah is mentioning, the Beis Yosef says, Yesh Omrim She'ein Levarach Alav. You should not make a bracha on the warm pas because it's not like a typical item that you're using for fragrance. No one has no one pumps bread fragrance into their house. Well, they probably do it in other. I'm not trying to sell the bread. Therefore, once again, because it's a situation of doubt, some say you should, and in fact, it's a special bracha for it, and some say you shouldn't. Therefore, don't intend to smell it for the purpose. I mean, granted, you can if you're walking, you don't have to stop smelling something, but don't pick a piece of bread just to intend to smell it, because you're entering a situation of soft baked brachos. Okay. Yeah, of course.
So we have this idea of soft baked brachos lahakel.
Yeah.
So I forgot where, but Rabbi Eger says that we wouldn't use that because asur lanas mina olam li bracha. Now I have pleasure from the shore without a bracha. So he says that concept of
Safi brach
lahakel doesn't apply to mitzvah man.
Sorry,
brachas man. It only would apply to like mitzvah or something like that. It's not accepted.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. All right, it's a good Mary Makom. Okay, so let's continue. So Amar of Yehuda. Amar of Yehuda. Hi, man, did nothing beyond Nisan. If a person goes out in Nisan, in the month of Nisan, Chazila Nidaka Milavave, he sees the trees are in bloom. Omer Baruch Shelo Chisa Belamaklum Ubara Bo Barios Tovos. Hashem didn't have anything lacking in his world. He created wonderful things, the longest Tovos and beautiful trees, wonderful trees, Lehanos Behem Bnei Adam, that we should enjoy them. That's the bracha a person should make when he sees the tree, the fruit trees in bloom. The Mishnah Brura points out. It's not specifically Lalacha Nisan. There's somewhat of a debate about it, but he says Lalacha Nisan is not the technical critical month. If it happens to be in your locale, the temperament is such that the trees are blossoming in a different month. If it's a fruit tree, you can make this bracha as well. Not specific to the month, it's specific to the nature of the tree. Amar of Zutra by Kovya. Amar, I mean, I should have Archin Al Hareach. Now we have to discuss, we make a bracha. Do we make the bracha of smelling chont? Certainly distracting, for sure. But okay. How do you know you make a bracha on smell? In general, Shnemar call neshama tahalaka. Your neshama praises Hashem. What is the ezu davish and neshama nanismena? What is something which the soul has benefit from? The in haguf nanismena. Specifically, your soul, that's enjoying it. Haviyom is our reach. That's specifically the reach. The reach is very much connected to the neshama, which is why it's one of the only senses of the body that was not contaminated in the Itzadat. of all the senses that was involved in Eitz Hadas, Reach was not one of them, which is why the Chush HaReach remains on a higher Kedusha level. And I'm not saying Kabbalah, but on a higher mystical level, the Reach is one which is not was not tarnished. It's more directly connected to the Neshama, which is why it says in the future when it talks about the Haftorahs that talk about the future time of Mashiach and Sukkot. So we have it mentions that the Melech HaMashiach will be Mariach. He will smell. He was going to sit in judgment, and he will be Mariach. He will smell out the din. Why will he smell out the din? So the Farshim is saying because smell is the one chush that he can use that is pure and untarnished, and he'll be able to, through that tapping into again the higher level of kedusha, be able to identify the correct psak. It's true also. Yes, very good. Okay, va'amru zutra v'artuv ya'amarav asidim b'churei Yisrael she'yitnu re'ach tov kilavanon. The young b'churim of Yisrael, young children are going to give a beautiful smell like the cedar. Shenemar yelchu yonkosav. The young ones are going to go forth. V'yu kizayis hodo. They're going to be like the olive of splendor, his splendor. V're'ach lo kilavanon. They're going to make them smell like the cedar. Okay, amru.
What happens to perfume?
What do you mean, what happens?
What do you smell? What do you...
If perfume is chemicals, it's meaning of something. Anything that's like that doesn't come from one of these other categories, like is a meaning of something. Okay. If it's not something natural, it might not be using anything. You're talking about something natural perfumes.
Perfumes. I don't know if people use.
If
perfumes.
They don't come from, if they come from something natural, then it's mean. And it's saying Hashem created. If it's something that man chemically put together, it's not. We don't usually.
I assume that most of these things.
I never walked over to my wife and made a bracha on perfume. Meaning, it has to. No, it has to have a natural source. Meaning, it has to have a natural. If you just chemically induce the smells, doesn't get a bracha. Okay, v'amr is the tribrator to v'amarav, my dechiv es hakol asa yafe b'ito. Everything Hashem made is good in its time. V'lam et shkolach ha'v'yachad yafe lo ha'kash baruch hu m'nasu b'fanav. Hashem, every single one, Hashem made his job pleasant in his eyes, not good in his eyes. Everyone has different jobs. I can't imagine doing what some people do. Some people can't imagine what I do. Sit in a dark room all day long, I can't imagine it. So again, everyone enjoys their work. That's a bracha that Hashem is created in the world. And the reason he did so is to make sure that all the jobs will be taken. So that, like, you know, if everyone only went after the objectively good jobs, well, then who wants to do the non-great jobs, or those might be. Amra Papa, if you were to put some like nice, it says you like attach the soft piece of the palm, I guess it's like maybe the central part of the palm tree, which is soft and whatever, onto the dav acheher is a nice way of saying the pig. The ihud day of it, you know, the pig is going to keep the nice like white thing, the hearts of palm, clean.
Yes.
He's going to roll around in the dirt with it. He's not going to eat it so nicely, the hearts of palm. He's going to put in a squalor, and he's going to first slip in a gallon full of mud, and then he's going to eat it. Why? Because even though it's nice to be hearts of palm, they're nice and white, that's how the pig likes to eat. So everyone has their way of doing things. Even though to other people it looks like disgusting, so it works out that everyone has their job that they enjoy in this world. Okay, continue. The Amar of Zutra Bar Tov Yamarav Avuch Kishnayim. If you're walking at night, you're not supposed to walk alone at night because you could be there's these mazikin, there's these demons out there that can damage you. So if you're holding a torch, it's like walking with two people. The Areach, if it's a moonlit night, it's Kishlosha, it's like walking with three. Now the Gemara asked the following question: Yibayuhu. I said like two, like three. It's avuka kishnayim bahadi day. Is it two meaning him plus one, so two total? Odom avuka kishnayim levar miday. Means it's two people, except for him, so three total. So Tashma, let's come and understand from this brisa. The areach kishlosha. It said the moon is like three. Now iamis bishlom bahadi day shapir. If it means three total, including him, that makes sense. Why does it make sense? We'll see in a second. Elia, if Amart levar mididei arbalamli. If we meant that it was aside from him, there are three, meaning four total. What's the purpose of having four people with you at night, or four total as a group at night? Why? Because there is a benefit to having two, and there's a benefit to having three. The Ha'amar Mar leechad to one person by himself, this demon will nireu mazik. He will appear and damage. Lishnaim, when there's two people present, nire it might appear, but ain't a mazik. It will not cause damage. L'shalosha, eino nir kolikar, will not appear at all. But more than three, there's no benefit. It doesn't matter. Three plus. So therefore, elulav, it must be shvamina avuka kishnayim. What it meant by was that two, when it's holding a torch, it's like you're two. Therefore, it only appear, it will be near the lomazik. And when it was with a yareach, with a moonlit night, it's like three total, and it wouldn't even appear. So shmamina. Okay, let's continue. We're just like going through statements of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav. So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav, Va'amri la Amar Rav Chanan Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Va'amri la Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Mishim Bar Yochai. Everyone's getting in on this one. Noach lo la'adam shi'atil atma toch kipshan esh. This is what Shugman spoke about last week. It's better that person should throw themselves into a furnace, a burning furnace, a fire, Va'al yaldin p'nei chaver barabin, rather than embarrass his friend publicly. Minalan, how do we know that is the case? Mitamar, we learn from Tamar, from her story, that she was willing to go to her death, be burned, than to reveal and embarrass Yehuda as to who the true father of this child, these children, were. Shenamar, he mutseis, she was going out, and she just said, you know, I care enough. See who these people, this, you know, just look at this. She didn't want to publicly embarrass him. She was going to be allowing herself, if he didn't speak up and say, oh, it really is mine, she would have let herself be killed. Again, that's the source for killing yourself rather than embarrassing yourself. And Rabbi Sugarman went through all the details of how that can be the case, that you would rather kill yourself than just embarrass someone. Okay, let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan. Hey, view lefanav, and you can refer to that shir, which is on the WhatsApp. It's recorded from last week if you want to know more about that case. Tanu Rabbanan. Hey, view lefanav, shemen v'hadas. So if let's say they bring in front of you, we had this discussion about different food items. So what if they bring in front of you shemen, oil of to smell, and hadas? Okay, shem v'hadas. Now, Rashi points out that we're talking about the end of a meal, and the shem is being brought out to like kind of help clean your hands. I guess it was used as a lubricant to kind of, or like something to wash off any kind of dirt on your hands. L'hav yizuma t'ochlin, and the hadas was meant to smell, to enjoy. So Beishameh Om, Beishameh say, Mivarcha Shemen, you should first make a bracha on this fragrant oil, the Achar Kach Mivarcha Lahadas, and afterwards on the Hadas, afterwards. Ubeishila Omrim, Mivarcha Alahadas first, the Achar Kach Mivarcha Al HaShemen, and then you do the bracha Shemen afterwards. Now we're going to get into the reasoning. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Ani Achariah, I'm going to tell you which is the correct halacha, and I'm going to tell you the halacha should be like Beishameh. Why is that? Because shemen zachinu lereach v'zachinu l'sikaso. The purpose of the oil is to anoint your hands, and the purpose of the oil is also to smell. So it's got multiple purposes. Hadas lereach zachinu l'sikaso l'zachinu. We're only using it to smell, so it only has one form of hana, one purpose. So we're going to do its bracha second. Okay, meaning it has more avenues of its bracha. So Amrav Yochan halacha. Kedivrei Hamachria. The halacha is now. What would be the other logic? Let's go back. What's Beis Hillel's logic? Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Shammai, or the logic they're projecting with Beis Shammai, is that this has more than one avenue of hana, as opposed to the other one. Beis Hillel's logic is that the oil we're talking about is a oil that is receiving its fragrance from something else, as opposed to hadas, which is intrinsically a fragrant. Okay, that's the case that they say that we're talking about. That's the particular case we're talking about, and that would be the logic that they saw. So, Rav Yochanan also says the halacha is like Rav Gamliel's suggestion that we follow Beishamai. Interesting. Rav Papa Iklo Lebe Rav Huna Breid Rav Ika. He went to this house of Rav Huna Breid Rav Ika, and the Aisu Lekame Shem Vahadas. They did this exact. It's like they test each other when they get to each other's house. Remember, some of the Tamachach comes to my house, I start testing them, right, on different halachas, what are they going to do? So, Shaka Rapapa, Ubaracha Hadas Beresha, he grabbed the Hadas and made the Bracha on it first. The Hadda Baracha Shemen, then afterwards he made the Bracha only on the Shemen. So, Amr Lei, Losarva Laman Halacha Kedivri Amachri, don't you hold that the halachas like Beishamah, they should have made the Bracha on the Shemen first? So, Amr Lei, Papa said, Hachi Amr Rava. Rava said, the halacha is Kebeis Hillel, which you make the Bracha on the Hadas first. Now, the next part of the Gemara is a debate whether or not it's actually correct in appearing in this Gemara. What he actually responds is, the Gemara continues, says, "V'lohi yishmuti nafshi hu da'avid." Really, Rav, his Rebbe, never said this. He was just trying to, he was embarrassed. But Papa was embarrassed. He didn't know, he didn't do the right halacha, and therefore kind of lied, told a white lie by saying, oh, he was following his Rebbe, And that's why he was just trying to get himself out of being embarrassed. Now, a lot of people point out that that's very difficult to say, that he would lie and distort what his Rebbe had said because he wants to not embarrass himself. Others say, again, the Rav Sabbah says to take these words out. Others agree. And the Rashi, Rashi explains it, as we've explained, that he was just trying to not embarrass himself. Some say what it means is his Rebbe didn't say it in the context directly of this halacha, but he said in some other context, and it was being applied, so it wasn't like a direct quote of his Rebbe. That's why he initially didn't quote his Rebbe, but then it really was his Rebbe. What's the halacha, though? If you look it up, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Like Beis Hillel. Like Rav Papa did. Not like Beis Shammai. So he passed like Beis Hillel, that you make the bracha on the hadas first. Again, they say it's because Rabbah, who came later, he was like the last one mentioned here, so the halacha is kibasrai. The last opinion is the halacha. So if you take out the fact that he was lying, that makes more sense. Why the Shulchan Aruch HaShipaskin liked the story of Rav Papa because he was quoting the last opinion, and the final opinion is like Beis Hillel. Okay. Tanurban, if you lefneim shem and the yain, you got an option of wine, oil and wine. Now the oil is to smell, the wine is to drink. We're talking about wine, which is not the wine you're making brachas maznan. It's the wine we talked at the end of the meal. When do you make a bracha at the wine at the end of the meal? We talked about 2 weeks ago. What is the circumstance? During the week, because on Shabbos you're going to drink wine all meal long. So when they bring wine at the end of the meal, it was covered from the wine you made in the beginning of the meal because it was in your mind. I'm going to drink wine now and wine later. But during the weekday, or any type of typical, whatever the scenario might be, if you just don't intend to have more wine and you finish the wine, and then you decide to bring out more at the end of the meal, you're going to make another bracha on the wine at the end of the meal, meaning like in the dessert stage of the meal. So the avilus neim shem and the yayin, and you have to make a bracha on both. What do you do first? So beishami omrim echoz hashem and biyimino, hold the oil in your right hand, that's the yayin bismolo, and the wine in your left hand, mivarcha shemen, because you're going to make the bracha on the shemen first, v'chozer mivarcha yayin, and then afterwards make a bracha on the wine. Afterwards make a bracha on the wine. What you see from here, number one, is that he holds, you make the bracha on the shemen first, mm-hmm. And number two, you see that what are you supposed to do when you make a bracha on an item? It should be held in your right hand. When you're making kiddush, the kos in your right hand. When you're doing havdalah, you're holding the kos in your right hand. When you pick up the besamim, you should put the kos down and pick up the besam in your right hand, not in your left hand. Because that which you're making a bracha on should be held in your right hand. Some say you should transfer the kos to your left hand and continue to hold it. The Aruch HaShulchan says you can put the kos down. Again, whatever you're making the bracha on should be in your right hand. And we see this from here. This Hilla Omrim, Achozes Hayayin Dimino, Ves Hashem Bismolo, you do it the other way around. Because you're going to hold the wine in your right hand, because that's what you're going to make a bracha, mevarachal yayin first, v'chos mevarachal shemen. Okay, now, what are you supposed to do? Now you have oil in your hand. So, Gemara says, v'tachu barosh ha-shamash. You should take the oil, and you should smear it on the head of the waiter. You got to clean your hands. You have oil in your hands. And v'im shamash. Why are you doing this? Because a Talmud Chacham shouldn't, as we'll see in a second, should not be walking around with perfume. No, that's dirty. Perfumed hands. It seems to be like, you know, look, we'll get into deodorant in a second. But walking around with perfumed hands, not like, in areas that are smelly, is like a level of certain, I'm not sure if it's like high style, gaiva. It's like a little bit like you're out there. Some people, you walk into the room, as soon as they walk in, you know they're there because you can smell from across the room. We're talking about like that type of notion. That's something that a Talmud Chacham should not have. So since he wiped his hands to clean them, and the residual effect is having smelly hands because that was the oil they had, wipe it off on the shamash. I'm not sure it means on his head. I said barosh. I wonder if it really means like on his towel or whatever he had. I'm not sure. His head? I don't know. All right. V'im, shamash Talmud Chachamu. And if the shamash is a Talmud Chacham, you gotta wipe it on the wall because you can't wipe it on him because he can't smell either. You don't want him to smell of oil. Okay, why is all this a problem? A person should not go into the marketplace while he's all fragranced out. In other words, just full of excessive smell. And we're again to this idea about how a Talmud Chacham has to act as a public persona in exceeding ways of modesty and appropriateness. Of more than you might expect from other people. The Tanur Banan. Shisha Dvarim Ganailo Tamachacham. There are six things which are like an embarrassment for a Talmud Chacham to act in this way, in excessively careful ways. Okay, well, first we mentioned already you shouldn't go out all perfumed in the marketplace. Don't walk around by yourself at night, because people are wondering, well, where is this guy sneaking around by himself at night? Where is he going? Any person should not walk around with sandals which are patched. Okay, where they're not, they look like they've been like, you know, they've been through a few years of usage, and they're already patched up. You shouldn't even converse with a woman one-on-one in the marketplace, because they're thinking, what are they speaking privately about? Even though it's in a public place, but the conversation is private. You should not sit with a group of Amei Aretz people. We're going to get into each of these cases what the reasoning is. You shouldn't be the last one into the Beis Medrash. You shouldn't be the last one in to learn. Shouldn't take big steps. And do not stand with a straight, arched up back in a haughty type of posture. So we said we cannot go out to the marketplace all with perfume. So we're talking about specifically Makam Shechashudin al Mishkav Zachar. Okay? We're talking about a situation where if you go to the marketplace smelling like this, it's for one reason. You're not trying to attract just anybody. You're trying to attract a particular person of the same gender. That is the concern. Therefore, Talmud Chacham should not be doing this, because that was the type of thing they would do to induce that type of behavior.
If anybody knows Talmud Chacham,
worried about him having to carry himself.
It doesn't mean that everyone who ever put on perfume, but there was such a notion that people who were like perfumed people were often associated with that kind of behavior. And therefore, a Talmud Chacham should be like 100% careful that no one would think that he's that type of person. Amr of Shesha, lo emarin ella bibigdo. And also, it can't be that specifically on his clothing. Of a begufo, if he's putting on his body, those zem avrele, his sweat's going to kind of wipe, you know, kind of eliminate the sense of the perfume. It's going to blunt it. In other words, we believe in deodorant for rabbis. We just don't believe in the excessive amount of deodorant, of perfume, or beyond what his body's normal body odor would need to be counterbalancing. Okay. There's probably a more French way of saying that. Okay. Vamra Papa. And putting on his hair is like putting it on his clothing. Okay, so that's excessive. Some say in your hair is okay because the hair is also a sweaty area. Again, it's more like the body. Fine. Again, it's all related to the concern of that this would seem to be either connected to people who are, you know, not appropriate people. Again, if the scenario was such that people put on one spritz of perfume is not necessarily indicative of a certain behavior pattern, and that wouldn't be us. We're talking about b'makom, that's what people did. That the people who were involved in illicit activities, that's how they kind of let people know, this is what I'm looking for. This is somewhat, I would say, applicable to the times, right? This is time culturally relevant. Okay. You should not go out at night because you're worried that you're like doing illicit behavior because you're sneaking around by yourself at night. That's only true. We don't have like a set appointment time. Like you're coming tomorrow at 9:45 at night. Everyone knows this. Like that's what you're going for. You're going to learn with your Amishui Shira at 8:30. You know that's what you're coming for. That's not a concern. If he has a set appointment, everyone knows, if I see you on the street and you're running toward, it's Thursday night, I know where you're going. I know where you guys are going. That would not be a concern. All the Tamei Chachamim right now in this room, we have no concerns when they're running down the street on Thursday night. Of course.
That's the first way I understood it, that people won't, if they know you have a zman,
yeah,
then they won't worry. But I think if you're Rashi, Rashi colloquially is enough. Shelo kabelo rabo kriyas langa b'layla. Your Rebbe didn't sit at a specific time. Meaning, if your Rebbe said, I want to have a chavrusa with you, I'm having a shiur at 9:30 at night, you don't care that there might be chashad, go to your shiur. Meaning, not that because everyone's going to know your schedule, people might not know your schedule, but we're saying, okay, but we're going to be willing to overlook. We said, don't walk out at night, people might think you're going to have some of this. But if there's a real reason why you have to do this, you have to go to a shiur, okay, we'll worry about the chashad another time. We won't worry what people think about you, because you got to go to shiur.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's interesting. I don't know. I'll look into that. I hear the chat. I totally hear it.
Because Rashi doesn't say, and therefore people will know that you're not going for.
Or I'll have to look in the maybe there's a shita. I'll have to look in how it says it. Yeah, Rashi, you're right. I know it's not that's not clear from Rashi. I wouldn't say Rashi's trying to say that, but okay, just say that. Okay, so we said that you can't have patched shoes. So that's Messiah. Rechia Baraba, Damer Rechia Baraba, Gnaihu Tamachacham Sheitzib in the Olam HaMetulayim. It's embarrassing for a Tamachacham to go out with patched shoes. Aini, is that really true? Var Rechia Baraba Nafik. He himself went out with patched shoes. So how could he say that? It was such an embarrassment. Damer Mazucha Breder of Nachman. No, we're talking about B'tlai HaGab B'tlai. It's a patch on top of a patch. It's like when your kid's like knees, you know, their school pants get like a rip in it, and then the patch gets ripped. So then you patch the ripped patch. That's already, that's a busha. Well, Amar and Ella. Bipanta, that's only true on the top of the shoe, which is most visible. But Begilda, if it's on the sole of the shoe, Lay Slumba, we're not worried about a patch being present there. Also, Ubipanta on the top, Lay Mar Ella Beurcha, that's when you're on out in the street, out and about. Of a Bebeta, when you're in your own house, okay, Lay Slumba, it's not so critical that we don't care how your shoes look when you're walking around the house. Bilar Mar Ella Biyamama, Biyamotachama, only during the summer months where things are dry. Abimosugisham, when things are wet, meaning in the roads, in those days, the roads weren't paved, and the roads meant that they were muddy, and therefore the tops of the shoes had a lot of mud on them. It was not apparent that there was a patch, and you could see it was covered with mud. So, Leislan, we're not worried about it as well. Once again, it's all about the context. I think that's what you were saying. It's all about the context of the scenario that would lead to an embarrassing situation. But there are reasons to be mekel when the situation would not fully lead to an embarrassing kind of perspective or appearance. You shouldn't talk with the woman in the marketplace. Even if it's your wife. Even your wife, because people don't necessarily know if she's your wife. Now, if people would know that she's your wife and there's no concern that you're just having a private conversation with a woman in the middle of nowhere. Tanya nami hachi, afilu hi ishto, afilu hi bito, even if it's your daughter, or your sister, because not everyone knows who all your relatives are, and therefore, if it would be inappropriate for a rabbi to be talking one-on-one on the side, even if it's a public place, but people look like, what's the private conversation? And they wouldn't know that that's someone who's relative. They wouldn't realize that there's nothing inappropriate about it. So then the circumstance would require that he doesn't do so. Again, there's nothing inappropriate about what they're doing, but it's a higher level sort of standard that a rabbi has to, a Talmid Chacham, has to take on for themselves.
Why are we so concerned with the other people? Why aren't we even the attitude to push back and say people shouldn't be judgmental or walking in the street?
So it's a great question. I mean, I think that, I would say that while it's true that we hope and we would teach everyone, you know, down the kafkos, right? You assume that there's the right thing going on. But there are people who have to project who when you look at certain people and you assume that they set the standard, you know, we talk about people not being holier than thou, but we want to look at our rabbis as being people who set a certain message or certain perspective. And therefore, when something looks a little bit off, even though you might be able to explain it away, but the image is tarnished, or in your mind, even if you want, I think it's like you want. The other way to say it, I think, would be in. So then, what about this? Would you say? Or would it make sense, Eric, to say? Let's say in the positive. The positive would say, it's not about necessarily what other people think, but that if you are someone as a Talmid Chacham, you have to hold yourself on that standard. Meaning, you should yourself not put yourself in a way that would. What would it do? Because what's the ultimate tarnishing? Since you are a representative of Torah, because when people look at you, they say, you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a Ben Torah, you're someone who is a learned man. you hold the honor of Torah wherever you go. And therefore, no different than the Queen of England who holds the centuries, the stature of Malchus. If she were to do something in public, that you could say, okay, I understand what she did, but it wouldn't be consistent with the crown, then maybe that's the reason. In other words, maybe it's nothing to do with what people think, and then it's not said, but then again, because they're representing something beyond themselves, they have to make sure that they act in a way that in no way could possibly tarnish that image. Maybe that's the other way to say it.
She's like this, you know, people might.
Yeah, 100%. You do. Yeah.
Differently. You'll do something, even if you know what you're doing is correct, if you think it looks wrong, you won't do it.
Right.
Okay,
so let's finish up. It says, Va'al yisei b'chavurim ame aretz. You shouldn't say with ame aretz. These like guys not unlearned. Why? What's the point? My time up. Because you're going to go along with their ways. I mean, these are people who are a little bit again, not learned, but not really scrupulous in some things. Maybe lighthearted. Got to be careful with hanging out with the wrong crowd. What was that? Kultroshia. Why should you go into Beis Medrash last? Mishum dekarile poshea. Because they're going to call you poshea. Rashi translates atel. They're going to call you lazy. You're the last one in. If you're the Rav, don't be the last one walk. Don't be the last one walk in because they're going to call you lazy. Why'd you come last? Okay. The Yisrael Me'asli Faseh Psiya Gassi Shem Piyu taking large steps. Amar Mar Psiya Gassi No Tels Echa Mi Tafkuf Mi Mor Einav Shaldam. The Psiya Gassi taking large steps extracts 1/500 of one's eyesight. Okay. Ma'itakantu. How can you fix your eyesight if it happens? Lahadre. You should restore it with the kiddush that you make on Shabbos, and some say the Shabbos and Shul. Now, this is the let me finish up a quote in a second. You shouldn't stand in upright posture, like a sort of haughty posture. Even 4 amos, it's like you're pushing God away because you're showing like I'm the boss around here. You see, make malo kolar. Kavod Hashem is everywhere in this world. Now, I want to just point out this in the last thing about the Kiddush, that the Kiddush restores the eyesight. I don't know if this reminds anyone of using wine for restoring eyesight. That heart container? Tosfos quotes in Psachim. Rav Nat, here we go. Kasev Shem Rav Natrunai Gon. He says, we're referring to Mekachin Beis HaKnesses, when you make Kiddush in Shul, this refers to Friday night. The Nosein Latoch Einav Lirafua. You're going to put the Kiddush wine in your eyes, Lirafua. He's calling Friday night. It's not Havdalah. Okay. Now there's a whole discussion. Okay, so the Amos Mahajig, okay, the Mihu Avi Ezri Kasev the High Rafua. Must have the kiddush shemibay. So you could do it even in your home kiddush. You don't have to do it in the shul kiddush. Now, there's then a whole discussion about, wait a second, the refuah. We don't do things for refuah on Shabbos, right? That's the whole discussion. We don't do unnecessary refuah things unless it's like a constant fosh, something so constant fosh. There's a whole halacha system about what refuah is allowed on Shabbos. But we don't just put the grape juice in our. Now, so there's the discussion revolves around if you put in your eyes, well, typically drops are in your eyes. Doctor, if you go to the ophthalmologist or the optometrist and they put the drops on your eye, like up on top of the eyelid, you got to find them. Find the other doctor. And this is the husband of an optometrist talking, okay? Whenever I can't get the drops, she just right in the neck. That's how it should go. Inside. So we're talking between the outside, that's not lirafua. Okay, fine. Now, they do quote subsequently that the minig, because this is a complicated thing, a Shabbos where you're going to put lirafua. So instead, they dip by Havdalah. And by Havdalah, again, it's for to putting on the eyes. Again, it's the same idea.
It's the information. I'm in Hagim.
Yes.
The people who are holding the Kiddush stuff to look at the wine.
Right. Yes. But yeah.
So maybe that's.
The discussion of our Gemara, so just to make your point strong, our Gemara does not talk about having to put this on your eyes. Right. This is something mentioned as one of the Gaonim quoted by Tosos. As the custom to put on your eye, connected to this idea of our Gemara, that's restoring your eyesight. But you're right. The basic idea of our Gemara, just our Gemara, is just that the Kiddush and looking at the wine itself is what restores the eyesight from other things that we might do. Why? Because what are you doing, Kiddush? Your mind, Hashem, created the whole world. So the person who was, taking Psia Gatas, okay, he can tone it back by remembering, I'm a Kaddish, Hashem is the one who created this world. Okay.
Right.
We'll end over here.
Very good.